Something was. I was thinking to myself, there had to be something that happened right there, but nothing happened.
Nothing. It was like,
The top 20 fantasy backs.
All right, cool. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, right here on the Chop Sports Network, coming to you live from Chop Studios for the final time. That's right. We are not relocating. We are getting branded up in this bitch, and it starts tomorrow. I'm very excited to announce that. We have another announcement. We have two announcements tomorrow, but for starters, it's Sturch and it's AJ Big Body Bass going over for a second day in a row. Gooch, Godspeed, my friend. We know you're going through some shit right now, and we tried to make light of it yesterday, but I could just imagine what this kid is actually going through. Every time he tells me a detail, I'm just like, you know, just like get the queasy, you know, the stomach, just kind of, you know. Yeah. But I wish him well and hope to have him back tomorrow. He has to send me off to Dallas in the best way possible, right?
Yeah, he has to say, fuck you, Dallas sucks, all that good stuff.
All the normal Dallas blows jargon that he, you know, usually hits me with. I got to have it tomorrow. I have to. So it's a necessity. But we start today. There's a lot of stuff going on. And of course, last night, the one thing I saw on the old television set was the Yankees taking another game from the Texas Rangers, sweeping them. Very excited about that, because we talked about it yesterday in a little bit more of length, that the Yankees in the wild card race is so tight right now that it's going to come down to the wire. And it just so happens that the Yankees start their series tomorrow. They have an off day today, start the series tomorrow with Boston, and then, of course, the Blue Jays after that. They only have 9 games left, man. So this is crunch time. Legitimately crunch. Crunch time. I will shout out somebody on the Facebook group. I don't know if you've seen this, AJ. I know you periodically check out the group.
Yeah, I periodically check it out.
But there's a guy on there, Sean Curtis. Big, big Red Sox fan, okay? But he has given us updates. Just got an echo. I hope. Oh, you know what? I didn't mute your mic yet. Whoopsie-daisy. There we go. So basically, what we're looking at now is Sean Curtis every day decides to put up a graphic of how each fan base is feeling at the end of the business day. So he's doing God's work, really. He's really making it interesting. However, he hasn't got a chance to show that his own squad has deferred at all. He's a Red Sox fan, so they haven't really lost any ground. Shout out to the Mets for not doing us any effing favors. Really appreciate that. I understand you guys are chalking it up and you guys are done and you're packing your bags and your head's already in the offseason and the winter meetings and all that stuff, but for the love of God, just do us a solid. Win a game or two. You know, we're not asking for much, Mets. We're not asking for much. We're asking you to take out the Red Sox.
You did get one favor last night. The division rival Rays did beat up on the Blue Jays 7-1. So
okay, camera went out again, by the way.
Oh my lord.
Okay. Yeah, it's all right. It's that finicky little piece there that we're missing. We're missing the piece that Gucci currently has with him in his possession at his home as he struggles to make it through the day. He has one of my I gotta just order new ones.
We could order new ones.
I mean, we got a couple computers over here.
I'll be a hands off approach.
Yeah, don't touch anything. Just stand out there like this.
Apparently,
and you're back down.
You saw what I did.
I saw what you did. You know what? Just bring up your webcam.
We'll do that.
I don't even care.
I'll put it.
Doesn't
up
matter.
A bit.
But so Sean Curtis gives you an update on your whatchamacall, on the standings every night, doing God's work, and so hopefully the Red Sox can, you know. The problem is it's in Boston. I don't like that. You know, the Yankee series have to go to Beantown.
Yeah.
And outside of Philadelphia, there's not many other suck towns more than Boston. I have been there once. I went on my brother's bachelor party, which his boys chose Boston. We're all Yankee fans here. You know what I mean? My brother's a Yankees fan too. I guess he chose Boston because it is it's a drinking town. You know what I mean?
It's a very cool drinking
town. Those guys up there are on a whole nother level of drinking. And we were too that weekend. So there was definitely a couple of times where I was just like looking around like, I don't really know where I am right now. So, but I'm sure I'm having a great time. You know, I really didn't know. So in any event, that is your wild card update. The Yankees do win. The Toronto Blue Jays lost. So now the Yankees come into today up a half game. That's going to fluctuate. I don't even know if the Blue Jays play a game today. So that can actually fluctuate today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
so
I'm going ahead and checking right now. Blue Jays do play the Twins.
Let's go Minnesota.
I don't see a Red Sox game today.
Oh, so they're done with the Mets.
Yeah, they're okay. Done with the Mets. They wipe their ass with them and throw them in the toilet. Just
spit them out. But
typical Mets, baby.
It is what it is, man. The Mets just don't want to. Yeah, the Blue Jays.
We just don't want it.
Yeah, they don't.
We don't. We don't want it, and it's pathetic. It's and like I'm not going to get more riled up, but goddamn them.
You're not even playing for like a draft pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's
no
such thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Some pride, Mets. Like, you got the man. That is what it is. Just finish your damn season. Get the hell off the field.
You see what Scoop mentioned?
What?
Blue Jays, that's a 4-game series against the crappy Twins.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, look, but Michael Kay brought it up on a broadcast last night. And I didn't even tweet at him. I'm done tweeting at people because it's just like, you're such a, don't be that jerk off. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, if you're going to mention somebody, just mention somebody, but you don't have to be like, this guy, you stink, you know? But he goes last night, he's like, all the Yankees have to do is win the rest of their games in a row, like sweep the rest of their season out, and they'll be the first wild card. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Let's just do. Well, not even Captain Obvious. Like it's the easiest thing to do.
It's very improbable and improbable. I'm gonna be the first to go on the record. It's a bold take. The Yankees will not go 9-0 over the next 9 games.
Will not. No, they will not. So I can't see that I can't foresee that happening at all. But it's gonna be tight. It's gonna be fun. And you know, baseball is heating up at the right time because right in the middle of that is football season. And with football season comes great responsibilities. And we have a responsibility here at Chop Sports to basically give you the rundown of what you should be doing with your fantasy teams. Uh-huh. And with that, you know, I'll start with this. Are there any, besides your CMCs, right? Are there any other guys that you're actually playing tonight? Besides Christian McCaffrey, maybe like a Robbie Anderson, your DJ Moore. Basically, the Panthers, yes. Are you playing anybody on the Texans? Like, are you starting anybody tonight?
Tonight, personally, I don't know. Brandon Cooks, right? He's been very effective this season. I think he has the fifth most yards in football right now, which is amazing considering the quarterback play that he has. He's been really showing out there every single game, and I think that tonight, it's going to be a little bit of a tough challenge for him. AJ Boye, a former Pro Bowler for the Carolina Panthers, he comes back tonight, so he's going to be guarding Cooks. I kind of almost anticipate
He missed the first two games?
Yes, AJ Boye had a suspension. Yeah, those good old steroids. Yeah.
Wow, good old Juicy McJuicersons. All right.
Yeah, so McJuicy, he's covering Cooks tonight. So I'll still play Cooks, but besides that, I don't know. I don't really. I got to be quite frank with you. I don't really know even other Texans receivers. They got Anthony Miller, I believe.
Oh, A Mills. You know, I met A Mills once.
A Mills is a cool dude.
I met him at a where the hell was I? I was at the
Texas Roadhouse.
No. Wow, right next door at Miller's Ale House.
That's fucking
which is right next door to Texas Roadhouse in Woodbridge. He was there with his family right before he got drafted, actually. So it was like, and I think he was in town to visit the Jets to talk to them as his pre-draft interview. So he was in New Jersey and, you know, ultimately gets drafted by the Bears. He's had himself like a little bit of a slow, quiet career, but he's like a serviceable receiver. He can ball out. You know what I mean? He can definitely ball out.
Yeah.
So we'll get into it. Let's get into it. What do we got here? So we're setting your lineup based off of matchups that we have for you. And there's could be, you know, difficult matchups to decide on. One thing's for sure. Daniel Jones has been added in a lot of fantasy leagues because of the fact that he's playing the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I would never do it. I know you potentially would do it.
I did it.
Gooch, did you really?
Yep, he's starting this week.
You have Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback in week 3.
People.
All right, explain yourself, AJ.
It's nutty, but this is a nutty world. I am a quarterback streamer. That's what I do. I stream these quarterbacks until I find the guy that stays on my team the entire rest of the season. And as nutty as it may sound, Daniel Jones possibly could be that guy, and it's not really because of the throwing. His rushing abilities right now, he's showing them off every single game, and quite frankly, they're using him very well to move the yardsticks. I think that with the weapons he has a Kenny G, he has Darius Slayton.
Kenny G, that's the singer?
Yeah, the jazz player, that's why I call him now, Kenny G. Yeah, and they also got, what is it, the boy Sterling Shepard, who's lighting the world on fire this year. So right now, I think that they could actually be in a good position to dominate in this game against Atlanta. It's a game they need to win. They're hungry to win, and it's in front of the home crowd. So I think that Daniel Jones is a, dare I say it, must start this week against the Washington football team. We've talked about it. He normally shows flashes of good.
Don't do it.
He showed a flash of greatness.
Oh no!
He did the great word. And quite frankly, I'm all about it. I've never been a Danny Dimes guy in my life.
Call him Danny Dimes.
You saw Danny Wheels. Then you saw him. You saw the board one day when you walked in. You're like, "What is this?" It said Danny Dimes' ass on the board. I'm flipping the script, just people. I'm all about Danny Jones. Let's friggin' go. Yeah, so this has set my lineup right. So I'm not gonna just praise Daniel Jones. Ryan Tannehill, he has a nice matchup this week against the Colts. Colts defense has been known to be really effective, but let's just look at it. In their first two games, they gave up, I think, more than 27 points in each one. So they're not really holding the ground defensively. And Ryan Tannehill, he has the weapons to do so. The one thing I'm very concerned about is Derrick Henry against AFC South opponents. He runs wild against them.
So you're just saying, for a volume standpoint, you don't know how many times he's going to throw the rock.
I don't know how many times he'll throw the rock. And honestly, they could get a lead pretty early in that game. I know the Colts are,
Jacob Eason might be a quarterback.
So if they got Jake, I don't believe that Carson Wentz is playing this week. Both two sprained ankles, one
which
a
is
high
hard to do.
Sprain.
Which is, I you know,
it's iconic.
If Wentz is going to be known for anything, it's going to be known for different difficult injuries to pull off. Like I've had a high ankle sprain. I've even sprained my low ankle. I've never done both to two different legs. That's impressive.
It's an anomaly, and it's an impressive one at the very least. But yeah, with Jacob Eason at the helm, why? If they're up 21-0, I don't really see them throwing the ball that much. This I don't know if that would be the case at all, but you never know. So
you mentioned the fact that Daniel Jones with his rushing ability. And while I agree, you know, run, white boy, run. Like, this kid's got wheels. I get it.
He does.
But sometimes when he's running, right, you'll get that 25-yard burst, which will give you, in fantasy football terms, 2.5. And guess what? And then you'll lose it again because he fumbled that same run, and that whole thing turned out to be a 0.5. So if he avoids turning the ball over, I can buy into this whole Daniel Jones against the Falcons thing, because the Falcons look piss poor.
They do.
On every stretch of the imagination. And I said that, if you date back to a couple of podcasts ago when the season was about to begin, I said the Falcons would win two games this year, and I had one of them against Philly. So now what? Now what are you going to do? Yeah. Now what are you going to do, Matty Ice? You got to, like, you're showing your age. You're starting to just really piss me off, because I used to like the guy.
I used to love Matty Ice
as a person, you know, yeah. as a dude. But like now, Matty Ice is just that. He's cold.
My love for Matty Ice is officially gone after this weekend, after I saw him throw the most piss poor ball to Calvin Ridley I've ever seen.
Bro,
it could have been a 60-yard catch. Buddy literally did a lollipop.
I looked at him and I said, all right, so you lost Julio, right? So that's a big, big loss, but you gained a Kyle Pitts and you gained.
Who's huge?
Right. And he still hasn't really done anything.
No, it's been
you
bad.
Know who my, you know, speaking of fantasy, my brother made a pickup and a trade, almost like a sign and trade type deal, right? So he signed Cordarrelle Patterson.
I was going to say, yeah, he definitely.
And then traded him, flipped him immediately for TJ Hockenson. Because his tight end was what the hell's his name?
Wow.
You agree?
Your brother pulled off a goddamn heist.
Right. That's what I was like. Because he's like, he texted me. This is how I know things don't, like, sometimes I'm so busy, I don't see what's happening. Yeah. Right. So he's like, how long is it for a trade to go through? And I was like, what? Would you make a trade? Right. And then I went to my email. I was like, trade pending review. And I'm like, oh, I'll see what he did. I'm like, this mother. I'm like, first of all, I wanted Hockenson. And I have Tanyan. But I feel like Tanyan is one of these guys that are going to be every week I'm going to be stressing.
I'm going to talk about him later.
If he doesn't score a touchdown, it's like, is he worth even having? You know what I mean? We'll talk about him in a second. But yeah, heisted a century. And you know what, though? The kid who traded away, my friend Nick, the kid who traded away Hockenson has Gronk as well. So it looks like, and Brady. So it looks like he's going to go with that combo all year long and not even worry about Hockenson. But shout out to having both of them on your team.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly huge. And Gronk, I mean, it's undeniable. The guy's getting touchdowns. He's feasting in the end zone right now. There's really not much to be said about that.
We go into the running backs now. Now, I'll be remiss to say I was once a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner in two leagues, traded him away one because my boy was desperate for a running back. He had pretty much every 49er running back known to man.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's just like, I need something. Uh-huh. I had three running backs in the league, Zeke, Carson, and Helaire. I chose Helaire to dish for a Stephon Diggs. So I think I did all right.
Yeah, not too bad.
I think I did all right.
Bad.
But it's because Helaire has been frustrating, and I know it's only 2 weeks, right? But this dates back to last year. I feel like He wasn't hitting his stride, and that's fine because he's a rookie, but I feel like he's not built to be the every down guy, and I know they're trying to do that, but that's what scares me about Allaire. It's not like they have all this depth, but having Mahomes, he's going to throw that ball so many times. You know what I mean? And you just hope as an Allaire fan and owner that he just dips it off into the backfield and he takes it to the house, right? And you get the big boom play. But this week you have him matched up against Chase Edmonds, and I asked you in pre, I was like, has Chase Edmonds even done anything yet noteworthy? And I guess he has, right?
Yeah, he's averaging like a cool 13 points per game right now. He's leading the Arizona Cardinals in yards per carry by a large margin. But the problem remains with Chase Edmonds is that there's James Conner there. But for Chase Edmonds owner, may I say, hold out on hope because there is hope coming. James Conner, I mean, I hate to do this, but James Conner is going to get injured this season. It happens every season. So when that does happen, when Chase Edmonds finally gets the full duties of the backfield, I think that Chase Edmonds could be a very strong RB2, especially looking at his receiving totals. Now, while I like Chase Edmonds a lot, I'm giving Clyde Edwards-Helaire the nod this week because I think this is a much better backup. This is a much better situation for him. Going against the Chargers have given up a ton of rushing yards on the ground, both to Antonio Gibson, to Tony Pollard, and to Ezekiel Elliott over the 2 weeks that they've
played. That's hard to do. How do you give up yards?
I was going
to
say.
How do you give up a lot of yards to three running backs in 2 weeks?
That's what I'm saying. So there's obviously a problem with the Chargers front seven in terms of defending the run. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he fumbled last week. I know a lot of people are very, very down on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he still is the volume guy. He's still the third down back there, and that was the first fumble of his career. Do not panic. He does not have a fumble problem, and this week really should be a bounce back week for him. I'm projecting a touchdown for him. He has to get on the board.
I'm
putting Allaire into the end zone this week. If there's like time for this guy to get the end zone out of the 3 weeks that he's had so far against a pretty tough Browns defense and also pretty tough Ravens defense, it's going to be this.
All right. Well, yeah. Hey, listen, as an Allaire owner still with another, actually it's the Chop Sports League where I have Allaire.
Oh, okay. Barkley, yeah.
Where Saquon actually fell to me at 13. I felt dirty. I'm still showering every day and just like doing one of these like Saquon Barkley. What did I do? Like, but it was 13th pick and I'm like, okay, that's a, you know, skyhook layup at this point.
Yeah.
So what do we got next? All right. So we're staying with the running backs. This is actually a good one because
you like it. Yeah.
I do like this one because I believe Tyson Williams is going to be the guy going forward and he's going to give Gus Edwards next year a run for his money. Well, that's my bold prediction.
And J.K. Dobbins.
That's right. Holy shit. You're right. So this kid, so the Ravens have kind of stepped in shit here, I think. As far as Miles Gaskin is concerned, Miles Carroll Gaskins, I look at Gaskins and I look at that Dolphins team, and while I think since Tua is going to be out, they are going to rely on the run a little bit more this week. So both of these guys are going to be good, right? To me, it's about who they're playing. You know what I mean? So you could take over from here. I look at Tyson and I'm like, that's juicy.
Yeah, Tyson, right now I'm looking at the ranking and him being ranked 24 to me is a little criminal. I think going against that Detroit Lions baby piss poor defense. I think that Tyson Williams could absolutely feast in this one. We saw what Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon were able to do in the last game. And if you go back to the 49ers, I don't know how many different running backs scored a touchdown in that one, but tons did. So Tyson Williams, I love him to reach the end zone this week. And the one thing that I really like exceptionally much about Tyson Williams is he's the first Ravens running back that I've actually seen get some burn in the receiving game out of the backfield. So I'm a big Tyson Williams guy and I love him this week, but let's go ahead and let's go back to the guy, Miles Gaskin, Carroll's Baskin. We all know him. We all love him. He's getting those receptions, right? He's getting the receiving totals that we want him to get. And he's also rushing the ball pretty well. Last week, 9 rushes, 49 yards. You know what the obvious answer is? Feed the guy. Against the Buffalo Bills, they were getting blown out, but against a Raiders team that they've actually had some pretty decent success with over the past 4 years, I think that the Dolphins are going to keep this close with the Raiders, and it's going to be a good game. Because of that, Miles Gaskin should have a pretty productive bowl game. I'm giving the slight edge here to Tyson Williams, but just know both should have a pretty nice game this week.
All right. I like it. There was a question, and you can put it off if it's part of your other ones because I haven't looked, but
no, I could do this right now.
So right now, is Pollard worth Tony Pollard worth starting as a flex option this week? Now, I tried to grab Tony Pollard, I'm a Zeke owner, right? Uh-huh. So I tried to get him as a handcuff. But I do know that my brother has Pollard, and I'm almost remiss to say, like, It's weird. As a Dallas Cowboys guy who's done the numbers and who's actually argued with so many people on Twitter because of the fact that, you know, can you do both of them? And I'm just like, well, in a PPR world, maybe Pollard's worth starting a flex. What do you think?
I definitely think Pollard's worth flex consideration because, simply put, right now he's outplaying Zeke. He really does look good. If Zeke Elliott is an every week starter, then I don't really see why Tony Pollard wouldn't be, because of the fact that Tony Pollard is getting the burn. He is getting the rushes. He is getting the receiving totals that you want to see out of a back.
Mm.
He, in PPR leagues, he's definitely a star. It's crazy enough that a backup running back is going to be your flex option.
It's weird.
And I can't disagree with it. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny because I don't even consider him, you know, back, I guess, 2 years ago, whenever Pollard was a rookie.
I think it was
2 years ago. His first year wasn't on the COVID year. So 2 years ago when he comes in, right, and Pollard gets in the game, you would think like, all right, Zeke is gassed. That's why he's in, right? Last year, the whole thing just imploded because no Dak, no offensive line, no nothing. Now you're finally seeing that Tony Pollard is like, RB 1.5.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Like, if he's on the field, I'm no longer thinking like, oh, this must be his series now. Like, no, he's just there because he's good at football. And that's what, and the Dallas Cowboys are infamous for not starting or not attacking a team's weakness and just trying to be like, oh, we got this. We have the talent. Let's just do it. That's why Dak Prescott was able to check out of so many runs in week one, because he was looking around, seeing what the defense was giving him and making the adjustments. Obviously, last week, the Chargers run defense is piss poor. So let's just keep giving the rock to whoever is the freshest legs. Mm-hmm. Both of these running backs are different people. They're not. Zeke will punch you in the mouth, right? Pollard will slip some jabs. You know, he's a
Pollard to have a knockout punch here and there.
He does. There was a couple ones that he had last year against the 49ers.
Well,
took like 50 to the house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this dude is elusive. He's quick. He's slick, you know, and I love him. So another question real quick before we get into your next matchup. Defensive starting question, Cardinals versus the Jags or the Raiders versus Jacoby Brissett led offensive lineless Dolphins?
You know, it's funny.
So he's kind of answering his own question here.
You know, it's funny. I actually was putting this as one of our things that we were going to review today. I was going to do a defensive, set my lineup, mm-hmm. but I was like, I don't know if both people have two defenses on their lineups. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if people have two defenses, but Cardinals versus the Jags this week, Trevor Lawrence doesn't look that great, right? He continues to throw interceptions, continues to turn the ball over. Let me just go ahead and say, by the way, Zach Wilson, same amount of interceptions, more yards, but that's besides the point.
Mm.
Trevor Lawrence, right? I don't like the fact that his O-line is pissed and you got to go against Chandler Jones. We all know what Chandler Jones is capable. We saw that week one against Tennessee, and I think that it's going to be a sack fest in Jacksonville.
So Saxonville is actually going towards
Saxonville
the Cardinals.
Saxonville is going to be going hard on Sunday.
And that's from my boy Shriek Alik, one of my good friends. Very, very fun fantasy football player. I've known the kid forever.
And then the other part of the question is Raiders versus the Jacoby Brissett-led O-line-less Dolphins. Wow, that's a tongue twister. I'm actually starting the Raiders personally in one of my leagues this week. I think that the Raiders defense has stepped up big time against the competition they've had to face so far. Even allowing as many points as they did to the Ravens is somewhat understandable, because the Ravens week one are one of the best teams in the NFL. If you look over the past 3 years, they go out there and they beat the life out of teams. So being able to show some fight against a very tough Ravens offensive unit, and then, you know, against the Steelers at Pittsburgh, where Big Ben is notoriously much better than on the road, shows a lot to me. I like the Raiders this week, but if I had to pick one, if I got to pick one, I'm going with the Cardinals, because they showed a lot. They showed up last week.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. All right, next one we got here is another one that the fantasy waiver wires were lighting up to get Rondale Moore. I know my old man got him on his team. I had him, and I cut him a week before, so screw me, right? So I had him for about a half a cup of coffee. And then you're putting him up against Michael Pittman Jr., in which I do have him too. So it's like, man, do I have a lineup over here? I got a nice little depth bench with a bunch
of
receivers.
That's what I always like to have. I'd rather have the depth.
So I got Rondell Moore, Michael Pittman, both interesting matchups. Rondell Moore got a lot of big chunk off of one play last week, but he still seems to have some kind of nice little rapport going with Kyler Murray.
He gets a good amount of targets.
A lot of people are picking Kyler Murray. If you like, I know it's way, way, way too early, but like if you had to pick an MVP in 2 weeks' time, Kyler Murray's the guy. Like he is playing out of his mind good, and he's got Rondell Moore to thank for that because he's one of the good guys. Now, Michael Pittman, on the other hand, you know, playing the Titans defense, who are just bad news bears, right? So the Titans defense is shit, but the problem is our boy Jacob Eason might be throwing him the football. So, AJ, take this one, man.
Okay, wow. I got to be honest, when I made this, I didn't even think of the fact that Jacob Eason would be a quarterback.
Right.
But that is a lot to take into consideration. With them going against the Tennessee Titans, I mean, we saw what Pittman was able to do last week. He had a 7 receptions, 113 yards. That Tennessee defense is porous, horrible at defending the pass. And even with Jacob Eason in there, I think Pittman actually has a big gain in this one. He hasn't gotten a touchdown yet on the year, but against a really, really, really bad Titans secondary, I think that Pittman, you know, all you got to do is get open. Eason doesn't throw the worst ball in America, and it'll be a touchdown. So I think that, you know, Michael Pittman is actually a guy that I'm looking to start this week, even despite the fact that Jacob Eason, the backup, is going to be at the helm.
The backup.
Rondell Moore, though, he has a very nice matchup against the Jaguars this week. It is a cakewalk. But my one concern with Rondell Moore in this matchup is that anybody and everybody could score. I could see the ball being spread all over the
place. We might get an AJ Green sighting
touchdown. We'll get a Max Williams touchdown. I'm saying Cardinals could post 8 touchdowns on the board, and I think there'll be like one for each player. I think that Kyler's gonna spread the ball a bit this week. It's gonna be an easy matchup, and they're going to be ahead in that game quite early. So if they're ahead really early, I don't think they're going to really pass the ball. They probably run the ball a bit more. So because of that, I'm actually, crazy enough, we're starting Michael Pittman Jr. this week over the Rondell Moore. Season long, though, Rondell Moore is that dude. Let's head to the tight ends.
Oh, good. I'm glad you brought this up.
Here's your boy, Robert Tonyan.
This is a little personal for me because I have Robert Tonyan in two. Because you get so overhyped with this stuff. You're like, Aaron Rodgers is tight end. You know what I mean?
So you just
normally think that that's going to be a good thing. Listen, I'll call it how it is. Robert Tonyan won me my game last week, you know, because the Packers defense did not do me any favors. I mean, yes, they caused some turnovers late, but if you look at the score of my game, the Robert Tonyan touchdown is the difference in my game. So I'm jazzed up about that. But I'm also in the market to say, like, should I go get somebody else? Because Tonyan is a touchdown or bust type guy. And now you have him stacked up against one of my least favorite people in the history of mankind, Jared Cook, only for the sole purpose of that. He caught that toe drag. Just don't get me started. He basically ripped my heart straight out of my soul or my person. But Jared Cook taking on the Colts, as we just talked about the Colts before. But Robert Tonyan, not taking on the Falcons, is he? No, Falcons are playing the Giants.
Yeah, my bad.
That's the 49ers.
That's a botch by the kid right here. They are playing the 49ers, people, okay? If you're looking at that, you know what's good. It's 49ers. Let's go ahead and talk about this one. Robert Tonyan is a guy that I really like, but I really only like him in certain matchups. I love him in primetime, to be honest, because that's where he gets the most
bright lights.
He loves the bright lights, Robert Tonyan. He loves them. My problem with Robert Tonyan comes if you look at the targets. Last week, 3 targets.
That's rough.
Week before, 4 targets.
That's rough. And that's coming from Aaron Rodgers, who just slings it all over the place, you know?
So
that's alarming. And you know what? Every time I saw Tonyan not on the field, right, because a couple times he takes some breaths and gets a blow, but like the other guys, Mercedes Lewis, you know what I mean? They have other capable tight ends, so that also makes me worry. Like if they're in a big jumbo set, is Tonyan even in the ball game because he's a little undersized compared to a Mercedes Lewis who looks like the biggest man on earth compared to him, you know what I mean? So that's the alarming part of this whole thing.
Yeah, and with those targets, Robert Tonyan is the definition of a touchdown-dependent tight end. If you want points from Robert Tonyan, he has to score a touchdown. against the 49ers this week, they've actually been playing the tight end position pretty well so far. So I'm a little bit shaky about Robert Tonyan. And personally, in my leagues, he will not be in the starting lineup. Jared Cook is a guy that I plan on starting quite a bit this week because I love his matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. They do not defend the tight end well at all.
I botched two matchups, brother. Good thing, but the good thing that the people that are listening right now, they don't even know that. So that's fine.
Jared Cook's, he's going against the Chiefs this week. And I think that with the target share he has, which is actually pretty big in the Chargers offense, he has the third most targets on the team so far. He has the yards, he has the receptions, and if he gets a touchdown, then he really brings you to that next echelon of a tight end. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd get him as almost like a top 10 tight end if he scores a touchdown in this bowl game. I think he does. I'm going to ride with Jared Cook.
Got a question from the masses here, tight end related. Here it is.
Oh, baby.
Tyler Higbee or Mark Andrews? Higbee playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in probably the game of the week when it comes to the Rams versus the Bucks. And of course, Mark Andrews, the Ravens. Who the hell are they taking on? We just talked about
that. Lions.
Yeah. Oh my God. So the matchup is juicy for Mark Andrews, but, you know, like, when's Higbee going to come around, man? Because that hasn't happened yet, and I think that people are starting to panic on Higbee.
And I'm going to tell you what, it's not coming this week either. Sorry to say, but Higbee is not going to be coming around this week. They got Lavonte David, Devin White. They got some guys who could freaking cover in that linebacking core. So I'm very worried about Tyler Higbee this week. And then let's go ahead and look at Robert Tonyan was able to do against the Lions, 52 yards, a touchdown, only on 3 catches. He gets that ball a bit more than he's putting up some serious fantasy numbers. Mark Andrews hasn't had the best start to this fantasy season. Trust me, I own him in quite a bit of leagues. But in a game against the Lions, really, where they just can't guard anyone, nevertheless, the tight end position, I think that Mark Andrews excels in this one, hopefully. Please, God.
So he's going to feast. So, all right. Well, there's your set, your lineups. Those are some of the harder battles that you probably are going to be juggling with. A lot better matchups. You did this a lot better this week than last week because not that last week was bad, but we were talking about, like, should we start Teddy Bridgewater? Like, no, you shouldn't.
Yeah. unless I did, though, and he was bowled out.
All right. Well, there you go. See, this is why you're the fantasy guy. I'm not. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, man. I will say this.
Being 2-0 and having a couple wins in my belt in a couple leagues, I'm actually 0-2 in one league, but
yeah,
that's another story. I will say that, you know, listening to you and Gooch and, like, combining meeting of the minds, I think I'm pretty good, man. All my drafts are really good, so I'm excited.
You're a happy
dude. I am a happy dude right now for multiple reasons. But anyway, so we have we got some football tonight. Yeah. So we do have some football. And at first, when you see this matchup, right, you're like, ugh, yeah. You know, it's Thursday. Like, this is why they put these shit games on Thursday nights and this, that, and the third. But the last two Thursday night games have been bangers. The Cowboys, obviously, and the Bucks, and, of course, last week, the Washington football team with the New York Giants. This week, you got Sam Darnold, Christian McCaffrey, and company going into the Houston Texans. Now, the Houston Texans, I thought, would be winless at this point, but they're not. They have a win under their belt.
Not only are they not winless, they're showing fight.
They are showing some fight. So now, the spread, the Texans are home dogs. Fine, we get that. Usually when you're home dogs, you're like 3-4, you know, 4 points. This is an 8.5 spread for this game with the Carolina Panthers being home. Now, again, you got to bring up some storylines here because this is where we're at with this game.
I don't have storylines. That's fine. I only got matchups.
Matchups, fine. So the things that you're going to be looking for in a matchup like this, Christian McCaffrey versus everybody. So it's Christian McCaffrey versus the world. You know, we all know what he's capable of doing. We saw what he's done first 2 weeks and throughout his career. So Texans defense, that worries everybody. You know, the Texans defense is not who they used to be. They traded away half their people. Like, they're just incomplete. Cluster F rebuild, like, rebuild mode. So Christian McCaffrey, I look to see a lot of volume tonight. Mm-hmm. Davis Mills. Okay. So there
Mills
is
Mafia.
Mills Mafia might be a thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's something in the air in Houston where, you know, obviously with their quarterback situation, it went to shit over the offseason because of everything that happened with Deshaun Watson, right? And now the new management, the GM and the owner, they're saying no to Deshaun Watson. He will never suit up. Good for them for making the right decision there because the NFL hasn't even stepped in and done a goddamn thing yet. So shout out to the Texans organization for doing that. With Tyrod Taylor, the acquisition of Taylor over the offseason, I was like, okay, they're addressing this. and they're going to go with Taylor, you know, like when it calls for it and this doesn't get resolved and blah, blah, blah. But now Tygod Taylor, right? Tyrod yeah. Taylor is just, he better never step foot in Las Vegas. Like his luck, his luck is so bad.
Yeah.
As a journeyman quarterback, he's, you know, with the Buffalo Bills and then gets traded and then gets traded and then gets signed and then gets signed. He's been everywhere. He's almost like a younger, better version of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because he's been pretty much everywhere, right? I feel bad for this guy, but he's going to miss some time. Now they turn it over to Davis Mills Mafia against the front seven of the Carolina Panthers.
Who's been feasting.
Who have definitely feasted the first 2 weeks. One on your boy...
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. And in week two, the Panthers took on the Saints.
And they devoured them.
And they crushed them, right?
Yeah.
So now, where is your confidence in a Davis Mills going into this game?
So my confidence in a Davis Mills is surprisingly high, almost. Like I feel, so
you're in the hype zone right now.
For some reason, you know what? I feel like when these Texans quarterbacks, right, because I feel like this almost happens before the Deshaun Watson era where they were just plugging people in.
Right.
I feel like the guys in their first start, they don't really do too bad. They actually like kind of show up, as you've seen with like TJ Yates. Like they actually did good in their first game.
I'll never forget their first if you're a Cowboys fan and you're as a journeyman as I am and watched every game, you'll never forget the first Texans game as a franchise. Like that when they first came out.
With David Carr.
David Carr lit up the Dallas Cowboys secondary. So they typically do have a statistical first game presence feel to them.
They do.
Now Davis Mills steps into that role. We saw him last week, obviously, in limited time. I think he threw for like $120 or something like that. Just nothing crazy, but nothing like catastrophic either.
Nothing that lost him the game.
Correct, correct. So it's interesting. We'll find out what Davis Mills got. And then, of course, you just mentioned it before, A.J. Boye comes back, and he will be covering and more than likely shadowing Brandon Cooks. How do you like that matchup?
I think it's actually going to be a really good matchup. I think it's going to be interesting to see tonight. I think they could get a little chippy almost because I know that my boy Brandon Cooks, he may struggle a little bit
at first. And Boye is a dog, bro.
He is a dog. He is a dog, and he may struggle a little bit at first, but I could see that signature Brandon Cooks big play. I mean, with Davis Mills, you got a guy like Brandon Cooks on the outside. You just got to throw that deep ball even half well, and my boy Brandon Cooks is going to come up with that bad boy. Mm. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, and more so, I really think that this Texans passing game isn't going to be as bad as people think tonight.
You were mentioning the Texans running game in as far as like Mark. Wow, I'm like, dude, it's
Mark Ingram.
Ingram, I love Ingram too.
Yeah,
he actually looks
boy.
A lot thinner because he changed his number. Imagine that. So the jersey's not as wide. I don't know if anybody caught that.
I did catch that. Yeah.
So I will. What are we bringing up here? So
we'll bring up some of the props.
Oh, all right, prop bets. We're all about gambling here. And listen, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, be sure to check out. Ooh, excuse me, BetMGM right now. There is a link on our website. Click on Jamie Foxx's face, and you'll get yourself a risk-free bet. So there's a lot of prop bets going on around here. It'll help out Chop Sports, and of course, it'll help you win some money. Risk-free, dog. You don't have to lose that first bet. So put it on all these prop bets and go crazy. So best props here.
The one thing I want to say about BetMGM, too, is that...
You've used it even before we signed with them.
Yeah, no, I've been a big user of BetMGM for a long time now, and they give away free money like it's nothing. They give away free bets on Mondays. I think just a little $10 bet if you want to do like a nice parlay or something. I've gotten $100 free from them out of literally nowhere when I was on a bit of a losing streak. So they take care of you.
Here you go, son. Get back out there.
Yeah, no, they take care of you, and I appreciate that. So if you like betting or you want to, you know, try out your first bet, make sure to hit up BetMGM on the site,
ChopSportsMedia.com.
Best props, Christian McCaffrey, over 82.5 yards. If you look at the Houston Texans and how they played against the run, it's been dreadful. Their pass defense, who actually doesn't really have any names of note, has been doing pretty well for what they can do with, you know, no names, no good defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey is going to get the volume in this game, and he's going to get that big run. We haven't seen a signature Christian McCaffrey, you know, 70 yards down the sideline. McCaffrey, he could get 82.5 yards, maybe, on one play, if they're in the right spot.
That's an easy bet.
So I think, personally, Christian McCaffrey, I know the yards is high, but it's rightfully high. He's no more as a receiver, but he's going to get some really nice rushes in this game for some long yards.
The second one's interesting as far as just attempts. Like, that's
I can't believe they set it that low. I can't believe
it. Oh, I can't believe that's even a bettable thing. Like,
yeah, attempts, I like that it's a bettable thing.
That's amazing. Like, because how many times is he going to get the ball? Don't worry about what he does with it. Just how many times is he going to feed the rock?
That's what I like, too, because, you know, I mean, I don't got to worry about the player. Just got to worry about the coach. Do I know he likes to run it? Yeah, all right. He's probably going to run it.
Good boy.
Mark Ingram, over 9.5 carries. This guy, week one, had 26 carries. 26 of them. And then week two, when they're down most of the game, right, he has 10 carries. So, at 9.5 against a Panthers team who I think they'll have a little bit more success against in terms of moving the ball, and Davis Mills will have some practice with the squad, obviously. Mark Ingram, 9.5 carries. I love that.
Yeah, I think the concern here is the crowded backfield. You know what I mean? They do have.
I get that.
It's almost as if, like, you know, they have Phillip Lindsay, they have David Johnson, right? They have all these running backs of note. I would say, like, It's one of those, like, oh, it's going to be a Lindsay game. Oh, it's going to be an Ingram game. The hot hand's going to get that ball fed.
That's what I thought. But if you go ahead and you look at the numbers in terms of the attempts they're giving to people, receptions, everything like that, Mark Ingram is the clear-cut lead back on this team. Clear-cut.
And I love him. I love Mark Ingram. I love him in all of the, you know, all of his time with Baltimore. Big trust. Woo, woo. You woo-woo. Know what I'm saying? I love this guy. So here's another one that's interesting. Sam Darnold over 0.5 interceptions. Basically, this means, do you think Sam Darnold's going to throw a pick? Yes or no?
And that's plus money.
Is it plus money?
That's plus money. Plus 110, you could get that at people.
Oh, boy. That's just, like, to me, it's a gimme.
Personally, I like it because if you go ahead and you look at Sam Darnold's career numbers, he has 40 games. He has 40 picks. One pick each game. There we go. That's how I like to do my math. And right now, I think one is over 0.5. So I'm going to be betting Sam Darnold for a pick with that plus money tonight, baby.
Dude, I mean, that just seems like...
Isn't that nice?
It just seems like a layup, you know? And this game could get away from any team, really. But if it gets away from the Texans, right? And they got to start playing from behind and blah, blah, blah. And Sam Darnold just, like, and then they're starting to play a little loose. Like, you can almost expect based off the numbers you just said, expect him to throw one.
Just one.
Just I mean, one.
Like, and I think it could definitely
can
happen.
Can you imagine the headlines tomorrow if he doesn't and he has one of these ball out games? Like, people are going to be like, you're going to go to Wikipedia tomorrow and be like, where are you now, Adam Gase? Because we need to know where you're at, because you almost ruined this kid. And all of a sudden, through 3 weeks of football, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. It's insane to me.
I've been saying this for years now, I've been saying this. And even as a Jets fan, I was able to acknowledge the fact that Sam Darnold will never be good as a Jet. But if he goes to another team, he's going to be a damn good quarterback. And I quite frankly, am happy for him. I hope they win the bowl game tonight, but let's move on.
No, don't. No. I was going to say, well, we're going to pick the game, but don't put up the picks yet. Spoil it. You know what I mean? Let's pick this game, right?
Okay.
And then we'll bring up the picks for the people to see it. So
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, because last week I'm like, oh, if they see the picks already, they're going to be like, well, what the hell? Yeah, right. Yeah. So, all right. So here's the game. It's an 8.5-point spread. The Houston Texans are home heavy dogs right now.
Heavy.
And we're talking about Davis Mills, and we're starting to build some hype, and we're talking about Sam Darnold playing better football, and there's a lot of intangibles going into this game. I will start with Gooch, who's not here, who made his pick. Clearly, Gooch is on the Texans are going to stink out loud no matter what, and the Panthers are a little bit better of a team I call them a playoff team in the beginning of the year. So obviously he's riding that. He is going with the Carolina Panthers to cover that number. So he's expecting a Carolina Panthers blowout, okay? Or not blowout, just win by 9. And then you got yourself a dub when picking this game. Or is Gooch just trying to make up some ground? Because he's had a piss poor first 2 weeks when it comes to picking games.
I don't know if he's in secret talks with the Sauce. I know the Sauce put out his free pick last night.
Oh, he did he?
Yeah, he did happen to say Texans 8.5, but he was saying some great things about the Carolina Panthers. I was absolutely shocked when he gave the pick.
So we'll just say right here, the Sauce picks the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's picking the home dogs to at least keep it close. Keep it relatively simple. Keep it simple, stupid. That's the KISS method. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that. But all right, so Gooch made his pick. I'll throw it to you next. Where are you feeling in this game where the Texans right now are beat up? They're down to their third quarterback. Do you think this is a game tonight?
If you know me, you know I love fading that public, baby. And right now, we got, I think, 75% plus of the bets on Carolina, but 25% of the bets on the Texans, but 80% of the money. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ride with the Texans tonight.
Oh boy.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Mills Mafia. Woo!
I myself, now listen, going into this game, I picked Carolina to be a playoff team, right? So I'm thinking they're going to progress from last year. They have great, great coaching. I'm still a Matt Rhule guy right now. And I think if the Giants would have grabbed him, the Giants would have been better too. That's just my theory.
It's, I agree.
I won't say the Jets because I love Robert Saleh. But I will say this. There's something to be said about when you wake up on a Thursday morning, if I'm the Houston Texans, right? And I'm the players on the Houston Texans. I'm the coaching staff on the Houston Texans, right? And you look at the paper. I don't know who looks at the paper anymore, to be honest, except for Jimmy Palumbo. I'm not sure who actually reads the paper. Maybe my dad still. But like, you read the paper. You read the internet. You read the tabloids. You see that you're a home dog, which is fine because we've seen it how many times in the last 2 weeks? There's been a lot of home dogs. 8.5 points. That's straight up disrespect. You have disrespected the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans have made all the right moves internally, not giving Deshaun Watson a chance to play because of all the shit that's going on right now. Houston, you're playing inspired football. You're fighting. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking the Houston Texans plus 8.5. I am riding with the Houston Texans here tonight. And I will say this. Will it be Mills Mafia? I don't know. I don't know if they do enough. I do like the fact that there's a lot of positivity in the run game. I love Mark Ingram, right? This Texans team has surprised me over the first 2 weeks. Now, remember, I will say this as well. I picked the Texans to not win any games this year, right? I am fading myself, and I am believing in the Texans' ability to get it done here tonight. I really, truly believe that they might win outright.
And you know what I want
outright,
to say?
Outright, bro, outright.
I feel that. I got a little bone in my body, too, that's telling me. Whoa.
I'm going to go to BetMGM and do it risk-free so I don't
lose
any money.
I might do a little 20 on that Texans money line. Try and make that bitch 80, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, listen, right, exactly. So, listen. It's an interesting game now. When it's on paper and you know like the situation with the Texans, you're looking at like, this is just I'll watch something else. You know, what else is on TV tonight? You're not going to do that. If you're a football fan, you are definitely. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not taking that in Survivor. Not at all, Scoob. Actually, he brings up Survivor Pool. That Survivor Pool got cut in half after week one.
I saw, yeah.
Everybody advanced in week two.
I'm not
two.
In the pool, but I look at the emails.
Yeah, the emails come in. So that's your update. But I will say this. I'm pretty sure Mr. Gucci has decided to pick the Carolina Panthers in a Survivor situation tonight. There's a lot of money involved here in that Survivor pool.
Scary.
It is very scary. It's too scary for me. Too rich for my blood. Not doing it. Not doing it. Listen, I like the Texans. Not that much. But there will become a time, I'm sure, that I have to pick the Texans to win a football game based off of picking everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. If I had it off the top of my head this week, who are the Lions playing? The Ravens?
Ravens.
I might do that. Because the Lions are just, they're just
it's
so.
It's not going to happen.
They just.
It's not happening.
They stop playing football at halftime. It's weird.
It's a tough break. But one thing I do want to say before we really end the show.
Yeah.
You know how you said that the Texans, right, you had them as 0-17 and now you're going against your prediction? There's nothing wrong with going against your previous prediction because how I see it is if you go and you look at information and you process that, then you could change your opinion. Like, I looked at the Texans. I watched their game. I processed that. I was like, okay, they're not a bunch of losers who quit every play. They're actually a bunch of hungry guys who've been disrespected their entire time in the league and want to win some goddamn football games. So.
And maybe tonight's the night where people are just like, even, you know, what is this? Is this, see, I know they rotate. Is this one on Fox? Is this a Joe Buck-driven vehicle?
I got to be honest. I thought it was a Thursday Night Football.
Well, they change it every so often.
I just said Thursday Night Football. NFL Network-driven vehicle.
They change it every time. So, like, sometimes it's a Joe Buck thing. Sometimes it's an Al Michaels thing.
I also saw that, like, Amazon was going to get Thursday Night games. So maybe they have it. I don't know.
Have you ever listened to one of those Amazon alternate broadcasts?
Wait, they have their own broadcasters?
When I say atrocious, atrocious. Like sometimes they have their own people and it is like you wonder maybe Amazon shouldn't get in the football game.
That
I don't
should
know.
Be illegal.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. And look, I'm not who am I? Who am I to say anything? Yeah. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy.
Just a guy.
Just a guy. So look, there's a lot of stuff going down tonight. Obviously with the Thursday Night Football game. I'm supposed to play softball, but this weather report is looking mighty shitty right
now. Ghastly.
So I got to get new cleats because I exploded my cleat in week one because your boy just decides to be a hero and tries to get a double out of a single, realizes I'm kind of 36 and I'm kind of overweight, so like I'm not going to do this. So I drag my foot, explode my cleat. Thank God I didn't roll my ankle. But yeah, that was a bad situation.
Thank God you didn't roll both ankles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz all day. Tyler Jacko chiming in saying NFL Network will carry the game tonight. Thank God. But that
I don't really like.
NFL Network, then who the hell, who's calling the game?
Maybe Boog? No, I'm just kidding.
No. No. Jesus. But anyway, NFL Network does carry the game. It depends on what broadcast team want to be used. I'm a fan. Listen, I know everybody hates Joe Buck. I
like Joe Buck.
I think he's one of the greatest to go.
Big Joe Buck
guy. I think it was just me being just overcritical because I felt like he hated my teams. You know, like everybody thought like, oh, he hates the Yankees and he hates the Cowboys and he hates the Giants and he hates this and he hates this. You know, but like he's just a good, good commentator. I enjoy talking or listening to him. And I love Troy Aikman's analysis. Since you're doing WrestlePro, you should do a broadcast with AJ. So we should just broadcast from the studio tonight, Thursday Night Football, and be the new Peyton and Eli, is what he's saying.
Wow.
I'm so down for that. Yeah, and if it wasn't for like legal rights and stuff, I think everybody would be doing it.
Yeah.
But if you have a chance on Monday Night Football, especially this week with the Dallas Cowboys playing the Eagles, definitely check out Peyton and Eli. I will not be able to do that because I will be multiple beers deep as I'm at AT&T Stadium on Monday Night Football.
I heard you're going to actually bring your headphones and listen to the game with them talking.
No, I'm not going that route. Sure? I board my flight in how much? What is this? It's now Thursday, Friday, 2 days.
It's going to be dope.
I can't wait, dude. Yeah. I haven't been to Texas in quite some time. So I was there with my brother, my dad. Literally, there was nothing that will top that trip because there's nothing like going to a game with your family.
Pops,
you know, yeah. And my dad, who would never in a million years in my mind would ever get on a plane to go to Texas, right?
Yeah.
And like I would always talk about it and be like, "Hey, we should go." I'm like, the living room's better, you know, like yeah. Yeah, the old head. You know, yeah. Rather have the best seat in the house when you're sitting down, but. He had a ball. He had an absolute ball. And I know I'm going to have a ball too. A lot of stuff going on. If you're a fan of comedy and you're in Dallas listening to this, because I know we do have some new Dallas listeners. People have been shooting me some DMs on Twitter saying they're listening to the podcast. If you guys are in Dallas on Saturday night, well, actually on Friday night, tomorrow night and Saturday night, my boy Brett Ernst will be on stage opening the Dallas Comedy Club. He's not the opener. He's opening. He's the first headliner of this club. So there's some importance there. So Brett Ernst will be in the house. I'm hoping to get some Dallas writers over there. Couple of the women I know that have been covering the team on the blog and the Boys Podcast Network over there as well. So it'll be a grand old time. But I'll be able to watch Sunday football from Texas, the birthplace of football.
That's
where football people go. So anyway, do me a favor. Go listen to all of our podcasts across the network. Everybody's surging right now. Football season is definitely, it brings a lot of listeners to these podcasts. I'm Your Football Team was dropped today by Keith Ernst. Dude, one of the funniest dudes. He's actually Brett's brother. And they both tried their hand in comedy. I think Keith went one way and Brett got booked by Cobra Kai. So it's like totally two different sides of the spectrum. But he's a funny dude. And if you do have a weak stomach or you're offended by easily offended, don't listen. Just don't listen. We're okay with you not listening. But if you do want to hear some funny, funny shit, go listen to Keith Ernst. I'm Your Football Team. And of course, all the podcasts across the network. We got the Squeaky Bum Time Soccer Podcast. We got Chop Heads MMA. So all your combat sports. I was talking to Tommy D last night. He got credentialed to go to Major League Wrestling, MLW. And he actually saw one of my boys, Casey Navarro, do work.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. We're getting credentialed all over the place. He's doing it for Fightbook MMA. So Fightbook MMA, right? I think that's what it is. Yeah. Fightbook MMA. So anyway, Chop Heads MMA is our podcast. Go check those guys out. Subscribe to all of them. We got something for the Jets. I don't know if they're going to quit or not because of how bad they are, but I think they're going to keep showing up. And of course, the Mets season is winding down with Matt Ibanez, John Sapanaro. And of course, I'd be remiss, one of our highest rated podcasts on the network, which is by default and by downloads, Jimmy Palumbo Show getting involved. And of course, tomorrow, his What Happened to That Guy? Where is that guy now? I don't. This, I'm totally remiss.
We need to really, I think, almost come up with a new title for that.
Just so some
sticks.
Just so because everybody
if you can't remember it, right. Then it can't be the title.
I run the damn network. You know what I mean? Like, how do I not remember it? But then, of course, Joe Matarese. We got a bunch of comedians on this podcast network.
Bunch of clowns.
Bunch of clowns. Absolutely, bunch of clowns. So, with that being said, for Sturch and, of course, AJ, who is filling in for Gooch, doing the best he can over here. He's on the mic. He's doing the graphics. Doing all the world. Tomorrow, we got a prize for you, bro. Yeah, so for us here at Chop Studios, and of course, Gooch, get well soon, my friend. Please, for the love of God, we got a big show tomorrow.
It
is a football Friday. It is a football Friday. Ice up, son. That's what you always said. Ice up, son. So ice up, get back to the studio, and then we'll get you here on a football Friday tomorrow. So thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Huh. Do you have anything?
You think it hurts more... the stone going in or out of Gooch's urinary tract.